So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I think it's again the perfect Sunday for Psalm 100. We looked at it last week and this week, and we will look at it again next week as we have that 1 week between Thanksgiving and Advent. It's so perfect because it's about gratitude. It's all about gratitude. It's all about Thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving, it celebrates the greatness and the joy of God, the goodness of God. It's a song about gladness. That's all it is. It's a song about gladness and joy, and everything is all right because we worship Him. Now, Kurt read this from the King James, but I want to read the song to you from the Message. Y'all ready? This is so cool. I love this. The Message says, "On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into His presence." Isn't that cool? Sing yourself into His presence. "Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make Him. We are His people, His well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever." Isn't that neat? I like verse 4 especially. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Not talking trash, but talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. What an absolutely great psalm. I'm really glad that we're going to read this a little bit more, because it reminds us of how very important it is for us to be thankful, to say thank you. It reminds us that it's really crucial for us, if we want to have any life at all, to live in gratitude, to understand that being thankful is prayer, and that prayer is being thankful. God is really saying that all that is required to have a good life is sheer joy and thanksgiving. Praise me unceasingly, He says. The rest, well, that'll take care of itself. Here's the reason. Because when we choose to be unceasingly thankful all the time, and let me give you just a few examples of that. Let's say we're sitting there and this beautiful cardinal just happens to come and land on the windowsill and just sit there and visit with us for a little while. And we can't help but say, thank you. Or when a grandchild crawls up in your lap, you know, this feeling, and looks up at you and says, I love you. Maybe it's a great grandchildren for us now. And all we can say is thank you. Or when we walk into the sanctuary and hear the music and see the church family and the friends that we love sitting here welcoming us, and we can't help saying thank you. Well, see, what happens is when we're so busy saying thank you that there's just no time for anything else. That's the beauty of it. There's no time for being unkind. There's no time for loneliness. There's no time for hatred or self-pity or fear or any of the other things that tend to take over our lives all too often. Our lives are taken up with thanksgiving when we remember to be thankful for it all. Because we're so busy seeking out those little gifts of God, even in the hardest of times, that the last thing we want to be is miserable. We just don't have time for it. We don't have time for moaning and groaning and feeling sorry for ourselves. That's what this psalm is all about. It really is. What a pity that we so often forget the password. So I was in the beauty shop the other day. It's not my favorite place to be. I don't like going to the beauty shop. But I guess it's a necessary evil. Because in the beauty shop, you've got to make small talk. And I'm not good. I'm really not. I mean, I can stand up here and preach, but I'm not good at making small talk, especially in places where I'm not used to being. But I discovered that the holidays rescue us, because when the holidays are going on, you can always find something to small talk about. So everybody was saying to everybody else, well, how are your plans for Thanksgiving? What are you doing for Thanksgiving? And most people said, well, I got to go to the airport and pick up so-and-so, or I got to do this, or I've got this new recipe for gravy. And that was the kind of thing that they talked about. So really, you're pretty safe at asking that question, but not always. Because there was this one woman in there who was getting a beautiful haircut. It was a little pixie haircut. But when she was asked that question, she just laughed, and then she sighed, and she said, what am I doing for Thanksgiving? I don't have the slightest idea. She said, nobody in my family will commit. Our son is mad and not speaking with his father. Our daughter is annoyed with it all and doesn't want to have to put up with any of it. And I just don't care. So I don't know. She said, but I do know this. If they change their mind at the last minute and they tell me they're coming, they're not getting turkey, I'll have something for them, she said, but it surely won't be a Thanksgiving meal. You can say that again. How very, very sad, right? But y'all, them is us, you know? How many of us have not wasted hours and days and even years of our lives so self-absorbed in ourselves that we miss the point? Because we forget the password. God didn't create us for that. God has created us for Thanksgiving. God has created us to be thankful. The world is created to say thank you. All of creation. That's just the way it's supposed to work. I'm going to tell you a story, and I may have already told you this story. That's one of the bad things about having an old lady for your preacher. Sometimes my memory goes bad. But it's a story that I love. I know that. And so even if you've heard it, I hope that you will enjoy hearing it for the second time. It's really a memory more than a story, but it really made an impact on my life. When I was a little girl, I was in grammar school at Bowden, and mother worked at the pants shop at Sewell's. So my sister Cheryl and I, after school was out, we would often walk over to the plant, to the parking lot, and sit in the car and wait for the 5 o'clock whistle to blow. And then mother would drive us home. But there were usually two stops that we had to make before we could get home. One was at Stitcher's Grocery Store, right across from the rubber plant. And the other was at my grandmother's house. Usually when we stopped at my grandmother's house, mother would just run in. She'd park on the side of the road and go in just to speak to her and check on her, and my sister and I would wait in the car. And I remember it was a fall day. It was warm. We were waiting there when this dog came up beside the car. He had walked from behind us down the dirt road. He was a blue tick hound, and he was old. And he was very hungry. But there was something about this dog. You know how some dogs just kind of seem to know things that other dogs just don't seem to know? Well, we made our Stitcher's stop, and so I opened this bag of Merita bread, you know, gave him 2 or 3 slices. He would have eaten the whole loaf, I'm sure. And then mother came out and drove us home. It was only about half a mile down Reeseville Road to where we live, so it wasn't far. And once we got going, I turned around and I looked behind us, and an old dog had taken off after us and was going just as fast as he possibly could go on his empty stomach in his old age. When we got home and got in the driveway and I'd gotten all my books and everything out of the back seat and had gotten out of the car, he was there waiting on me, licking my hand, looking in my eyes. You know you had it when the dog looks in your eyes. And Blue never left again. Well, I take that back. He left one time a few weeks later when my daddy put him in the car and took him to Bremen to get him away to someone. And I grieved and I grieved and I grieved, but I didn't grieve much Because one morning, there was old Blue laying there in the yard. He was making his little fans with his tail like this, back and forth. He would lay there. And that tail said, "I love you. You're mine. I thank you for what you did." He had somehow made it all the way back from Bremen to Bowden in a week's time to be with us. I'll never forget that. I loved old Blue. That dog made a difference in my life. Or maybe y'all have seen the videos where somebody will rescue a squirrel or a deer that's hurt and abandoned, and they'll nurse it back to health, and then let it go, only to have it come back a few times a year to visit. You've seen that? See, God has just created it that way. God has created this world to be a grateful world. The trees give back their seeds. The clouds give back the rain. It's just a constant circle. God has created us to come back to one another and to be there for one another. Just as we're with Judy right now, we are with her and we're never going to leave her. That's the way that God has created us to be. Now, sometimes showing gratitude isn't easy. Sometimes it doesn't even seem logical. But I don't remember that one of the characteristics of God is being logical, do you? In 1995, during the Christmas season, there was a factory in Lowell, Massachusetts. It was called Malden Mills. Y'all might remember this. I do. It was all over the news. And it burned to the ground. And one day I saw it. It was just one of those things that happened. It was an accident. The owner of the mill was a man named Aaron Furenstein. And he didn't do like a lot of owners would do. He didn't say, "I'm sorry, y'all. You know, I know it's almost Christmas, but I'm sorry, what can I say? Just go on home." Instead, he continued to pay his workers their salaries and benefits out of his own pocket for many, many, many months until a new plant was built. That's how grateful he was. And that's how willing he was to show his gratefulness. He felt responsible for the people who were in his employ, and that's what he did. That's how he said thank you. When the new factory got up and running, worker productivity reportedly improved by 25%, and quality defects have dropped by 2/3. Now, of course, some of that had to do with the new equipment that had replaced the old. But Furenstein believes that it's a direct result of the goodwill of people. God has created us to be thankful. And to show it by caring about others, to make that our number one priority, to wake up and be thankful. There was a teacher named Patricia Sumney, and she wrote in the Upper Room. Here's a plug for the Upper Rooms in the back of the church back there. We keep trying to get y'all to take the devotional books. So she wrote this in 2008. She said, "In my first year of teaching, I was assigned to an inner city school. Just before Thanksgiving, our school began a canned food drive. Each class placed a decorated box near the front of the classroom to hold the daily contributions. Every day the children came in with their cans and they excitedly added them to the box, the growing number of cans there. Y'all have all been a part of something like that." But she said the last day of our drive, she observed one of her first graders coming in, and he had this big old smile on his face like she had never seen before, and he proudly brought a big can to place in a box. She said, I noticed its white label, so I secretly looked to see what the block letter said. And it said, "Commodity boned chicken." And she said, a tear came to my eye as I realized that his family had food because of a government food program. Yet, just as the widow in Luke 21:2 gave her last mite, he brought in an offering from their meager pantry. And she says, over 35 years later, and after many food drives, I still remember this child's sacrificial offering. He had no way of knowing that his family had actually been chosen as one of the ones to receive the food that was being collected. He just wanted to share an act of giving. He just wanted to say thank you. He just wanted to help somebody in need. And she said, he inspired me to be more generous with my possessions as well as my time. His generosity and thanksgiving were a life-shaping lesson for me. God has created us to say thank you and to spend a whole bunch of time doing it. So I've about decided that I'm going to get one of my grandkids. We're going to eat on Friday rather than Thursday. I'm going to get one of my grandkids to be the doorkeeper at our house. Maybe we'll have a little door built in, you know, like they did in the prohibition times and the speakeasies. And I'll have them open the little door and say, password. And if they can't get it within three times, whoever it is coming in, they're going to have to wash the dishes. That sounds fair, doesn't it? I think I'll make it a better try. But here's the thing. Just saying thank you won't be enough. This goes for all of us. Just counting our blessings won't be enough. Just being thankful for what we have won't be enough. Being thankful is not about presenting God with a list of things that we think we should feel grateful for. Instead, being thankful is all about presenting ourselves. Giving ourselves, our very selves, to becoming a person who has learned to see. To see all the blessings of the world around us, because God created it all. Real gratitude is a gift from God that allows us to be so much bigger than ourselves. So that's my Thanksgiving wish for you and for me. That we would learn and continue to learn, to look, and to listen for something bigger than us, so that we can forget our petty grievances and our fears, and we could look at something bigger. That we would learn to listen for the call of the wren, just so we can say thank you for it all. That we would spend time walking hand in hand with our husband or with our wife, who often we, as we get older, we forget to do that. But that we would do that just so we could say thank you for it all. That we would pick up the phone and call a friend and say, I love you. Just so we can say thank you, God, thank you for it all. That, my friends, is how to get to know God more closely, by being thankful for it all. How do you do it? Well, you enter with the password, thank you. You make yourselves at home. You talk praise. You thank Him. You worship Him. And you'll be amazed. There really will be no time for anything else. No time for negative thoughts and childish tantrums. No time for worry of what tomorrow might bring. No time for going out of your way to be unkind to someone. Who needs that stuff anyway? Do you? I don't. Happy Thanksgiving, my friends. Happy Thanksgiving. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.